Amen? A safe place indeed. Just highlight a few announcements in our bulletin. If you want to turn into the second page, it gives you a list of items for the mission team departure. That's coming up very quickly, February 4th. And we've decided we're going to give housewarming gifts to the two families that we're building the home for. And you'll see in bold print there a list of those items. And if you'd be willing to share those items with those families, they would greatly, greatly be blessed. And right below that, you'll see for our college students, the We Care packages. And just encourage you, if any of those items you'd be willing to donate, there's drop boxes located in the narthex and foyer, and that's for February 5th deadline. So we thank you ahead of time for any of those items. You can help to support the mission team or our college students with the We Care packages. Today is the deadline. If you haven't turned in your treasury books, we'd appreciate those in the church office today or very soon thereafter, so the auditors can begin their work, and we trust that's being taken care of. There is a little note in here. Did anyone claim the iPhone then, Mark? There was an iPhone found. If no one claimed it yet, Mark would be glad to have you identify that, and you can retrieve that from him. And we also just want to highlight, looking ahead to the 28th for men's ministry, the 7 a.m. Blue Star breakfast at 7 a.m. on the 28th. So guys, mark your calendar and come on out this week too. We have our men's Bible study in the pastor's office. Any other announcements we'd like to highlight this morning? All right, we have the choir with us this morning, and we're excited to hear their anthem. Now let us sing.
Oh,
are so very thankful and very blessed to know that indeed our God is love. And we come before him with our joys and concerns as a microphone comes around. And please keep your list of prayer concerns with you each day and lift up those individuals. Just to highlight, Pastor Jonathan Bream is from Brooklyn First Church of the Brethren, and his wife Debbie, they were en route from Pennsylvania back to Brooklyn and were in a severe car accident. He has 6 stitches in his head, and as a result of that, his truck has been demolished and totaled. And if anyone is aware of a reasonably priced small pickup truck, I'd be grateful to know that information to pass on to Pastor Jonathan. But keep those lists of individuals in your prayers each and every day. Any joys or concerns?
Joy for my Sunday school class. We had a little fellowship get together last night, and really grateful for the encouragement and the fellowship that we have. And I'd just like to encourage everybody. I know that we all think Sunday school might be for children and it ends when you get to 12th grade, but I'd like to encourage you with this new year to look for the adult classes that are out there and to join. I think and I'm sorry, Pastor Matt, if I had to choose church over Sunday school, I'd choose Sunday school because you get to talk, you get to ask questions, and not that I don't want people to come to church, but I'd really encourage you to come to Sunday school. It's a wonderful way to learn more about God and to build up fellowship and build friends.
I heard this morning that the Myers celebrated 72 years of marriage. We should sing happy anniversary.
Yes, we should. Amen. Happy anniversary.
I'd like to ask for a prayer for my other grandmother, Judy Walter. She's going to be having some minor surgery on Thursday, and they'll be keeping her overnight, but we don't expect any complications. So hopefully it'll all go well.
Okay, thank you.
As you know, Tulpe celebrated their 50th class reunion in October, and we lost 3 classmates within a month right after the reunion. Well, this week I got word one of our classmates, his wife just passed away from cancer, and he's from the Rarisburg area. So if you would please keep Jay Null and his family in prayer, we appreciate that.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the comfort. We thank you for the peace that you bring to our lives. And we turn now to you, Father, as we face various situations in our very own lives, that we would seek you, knowing that you are the master physician. You are the greatest comforter that we could ever need. And so we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And we just pray, Father, as we go through various struggles, as we rejoice over circumstances that bring encouragement, that we would be mindful of you, Father. And we just continue to pray for little Swatara and the direction you're calling us, the will that you have for us. We are so thankful for what you're doing here and the people that we're blessed to join as a family together. And we just encourage and uplift one another, knowing that you have a perfect plan. And we just rejoice, Father, with your love and rejoice with your forgiveness that you offer us through the cross. And we pray specifically, Father, by name for those on our prayer concerns. And we think of Rufus and Dorothy this morning. We think of Ruth and John. And we think of Carl and Faye. And we think of Earl and Carol and Pete and Bonnie and Amanda and Lauren and Bruce and the Mike Holstander family and the Knoll family. We think of Ruth Conover and Ruth Bolts, Sue Ellen, and Pastor John and his wife Deb, as well as Miss Walter. Father, we just pray that you would continue to minister to their needs, that you would continue to uplift them in their healing processes, continue to uplift them in the upcoming surgeries that they face, and relieve any type of stress they may be feeling. And we pray, Father, for those that are in college, and just continue to guide and direct them, Father, as they look to their future and they're preparing for that. Bless them in their studies, Father. And guide each of us as we study your word. Help us to know you more and to live for you. And we just pray now during these next few moments of silent prayer for forgiveness of our sins and also for their prayers upon our hearts. Hear our prayers. Father, we pray that you would continue to help us live by faith. Help us to avoid sin at all costs. Help us to love one another well. And help us to celebrate with one another in those times of excitement and those times of joy. We think of marriages and we just celebrate with Hershey and Anna Mary and the many, many years of blessings they've experienced and the love for one another. And we pray for every marriage represented here in the, whether it's 1 year, or whether it's 72 years they celebrate. Father, we know that you are in the midst of marriages and you design those. So help us, Father, to be good communicators in our marriage relationships. And those that are preparing for marriage as they look forward to that day, we just pray that you would prepare their hearts and their minds for that step of covenant, that step of going through good and bad together. And we just thank you, Father, for each one that's represented here today, and just pray your blessings upon them and allow us to shine your light this new year and be able to join Sunday school classes and learn more about you in intimate ways as discussion unfolds. And we just praise you, Father, for the teachers and assistant teachers and all those involved in the front lines and on the behind the scenes. And we're just so thankful for everyone that serves here. May we just continue to be a beacon of your light and continue to send your love out to others and among this wonderful church family. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. For our offertory thought this morning, we have a little bit of a brain teaser. So we'll see if you're awake this morning, and there'll be a little bit of an interaction. A lady walks in a store. She steals $100 from the cash register without the owner even knowing. She comes back 5 minutes later, buys $70 worth of goods with that stolen $100 bill. The owner proceeds to give her $30 in change. The question for you this morning is, how much did the owner lose? Was it $130? $170? What about $200? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we recognize the God we give to is faithful through the stewards he's given us here in this church. The money that you give week in and week out is used wisely. And our goal, our vision is to further his kingdom here on this earth as you give. May we be cheerful givers. Thank you for your faithfulness in doing so. Father, we thank you that you are a God who does not steal, but you are a God who honors, who blesses our tithes and our offerings. And we rejoice, we're thankful, Father, that we can give, for we know that we are abundantly blessed. And out of that abundance, Father, we give, but may this year we give also sacrificially, knowing that you know our very needs and you'll meet each one. So thank you, Father, for again allowing our balance on our mortgage to be at zero. We continue to rejoice over that and continue to look forward to what you have in store in 2017. Thank you, and may we continue to be a blessing. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Who's the smartest person you know? Is it someone in your family, in school, on TV, in this church? Who's the wisest person you know? I looked it up on the internet and found two books, The World's Best Advice from the World's Wisest Woman by B.J. Galger and The Wisest Man in America by W.D. Wetherill. But that doesn't really help me. How about in the Bible? King Solomon asked God for wisdom and was supposed to be the wisest ruler. Then there was the three wise men who followed the star to Bethlehem to see baby Jesus. What's the difference between being smart and knowledgeable and being wise? Smart means to be knowledgeable knows a lot of facts and information. Wise means to make good decisions and choices. Do you eat your vegetables every day? Do you always ask permission to use the computer? Do you share with your sister or brother? Do you spend all of your money or give some of it to the church? Do you always wear a helmet when riding your bike? Myself, I'm pretty knowledgeable about good nutrition and regular exercise, but sometimes I don't make the wisest decisions. I'd rather have two pieces of cake because I love cake than walk every day for exercise. I know what I should do, but sometimes I don't make the best decisions. Who knows what's right for us? Parents, teachers, God? Did God give us any instructions in the Bible? Sometimes we know a lot, but don't make good decisions. We know what's best, but we just don't do it. Then there are some people who haven't gone to a lot of school and may not think themselves very smart, but they are pretty wise and make good decisions. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the Bible. Help us to learn about Jesus and how to make good choices that will glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This is my father's will. Ideas of evil floating around in the world today.
There's this comical view of a character that wears a red suit, who has horns, and he carries a pitchfork. What about the Hollywood version that we see in Star Wars movies? Darth Vader, Darth Maul, and for those serious Star Wars fans, how about Darth Sidious? We picture these figures dressed in black, with haunting faces and piercing eyes. But friends, that's not a realistic view of evil at all. Paul even says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. This morning, as we further conceive the deceiver, it's key for us to consider that word deception. It's all too familiar from last week in the Garden of Eden, where Satan tempted Adam and Eve, beginning with the word of God. And what does he do? Causes them to doubt and ultimately deceives them to disobey. We find that very same thing happening in the wilderness as the evil one tempts Jesus by quoting scripture. And here's what we learn this morning. The less we know about the word of God, the more the enemy knows how to deceive us. You see, he's the master of forgery. He's the best at lies. And he has no problem twisting and confusing scripture. So let us not too quickly forget, Satan had fallen far before he tempts Adam and Eve. Job 38, 4 and 7 says the angels were created before the earth. The book of Job also tells us, at least at that time, Satan still had access to heaven and the throne of God. We hear this in Job 1, 6 and 7. It says, one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answers this, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Now, apparently at the time, he's still moving freely between heaven and earth, speaking to God directly and answering for his activities. Whether God discontinued this access becomes a matter of debate. Some say that ended when the death of Christ occurred. Others say it still happens until the end times war in heaven. But take note why Satan falls from heaven. It's something we struggle with today. It's something among the seven deadly sins, and it's called pride. And here's the problem. This angel, whom we know as Lucifer, desired to be God, not just a servant of God. And I want you to notice Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, the many I will statements. Referring to Satan, he said this in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Friends, nothing has changed, even among us mortals. How many times have we said, I will? Satan's desire, his longing, his craving has always been to be God. And we don't look very far in the Genesis story before he causes Eve to disobey. Remember what he said in Genesis 3, 5, you shall be as God. Ezekiel 28, 12 and 15, Satan's been described as an exceedingly beautiful angel. Likely the highest of all angels, the anointed cherub, the most stunning of God's creations. But he could never remain content with his position. He desired to be God, essentially to kick God off his throne and take over the role of the universe. Interestingly enough, that's where we find ourselves today. Try as we may, in many situations, we prefer to be God. We continue to have these control issues, and you know, a result of that may be it's a lot easier to answer to ourselves, so we think, rather than letting God be God and obeying his commands. Now this morning, I'd like us to think about unraveling sin. Think about that word unravel, things that separate, things that disentangle. And the first thing that comes to my mind is this favorite sweater I used to own. It was the coolest sweater I ever had. It had to have been purchased by my dear wife, Denise. How I wish I had a picture of it. But I want you to remember those words, used to. All it took was this one tiny thread starting to unravel. And before I knew it, strand after strand were unraveling in my hands. Now, I have a bit of a confession to make this morning. Despite my love for that sweater, there was something rather addictive about seeing those strands pull off and that sweater becoming less and less. That small, minuscule piece of thread that I should have simply clipped off and called it quits has now become this giant clump of thread in my hands. And friends, so it is with our sin. It starts simple enough. We seemingly have it under control, like that little white lie or that sudden outburst of a swear word. It'll never happen again. But then it becomes second nature. It becomes part of us. And before we know it, we become tangled up in sin. You see, sin has a way of coming back. It's a lot like a pot-bellied pig I once owned, and his name was Wilbur. To this day, I still have no idea what I fed it that caused its demise. But my father insisted that the pig be removed from the pen and buried immediately. I told my dad, "But it's a smoldering hot day. Can't I just wait until it cools down? I'm tired from all the barn work." But he insisted, the pig needs taken care of. Now let me tell you a little bit about Union County where we lived. It was an area of limestone and clay soil. All I had was a spade shovel. No backhoe. So the work began. Tedious, overbearing, and I'll be honest, it came to a point I had enough. I thought for sure that it was going to be far enough under the ground, there'd be no issues. But something happened, friends. Something very, very bad. Not burying that pig deep enough underground in smoldering heat had its consequences. I don't know how many days after it was, but that pig exploded. And if pigs ever did fly, Wilbur did that day. And the stink and the mess that it made was so nasty. But you see, it's like that with sin. We try to bury it. We think that it's far enough away, it can't possibly come back. But then that day happens, and they reappear. They make their mark. They smell up our lives and rotten our witness to others. Now we know we'll never be perfect this side of heaven. But friends, what if in 2017 we made the commitment to sin less and less? Somewhere along the line with all this unraveling sin, we've called it an accident. A blunder, a mistake, an error on our part. But like our scripture last week, God cried out to a now sin-tainted Adam and Eve, attempting to hide from him. Where are you? And Adam thought he had a plan. The fig leaves were an easy, quick fix. They were a cover-up. You know, it's the way we try to fix our own sins at times. What we think is the quick and easy way, we'll grab more leaves. There's always more. And we'll cover them up. We think we're doing well. The cover-up is going just fine. Adam, we could even hear saying to Eve, "Look, I told you, we could make this work out." It's a lot like the man who took his daughter to the beach, and he couldn't get her to go in that chilly ocean water. So after his persuasion failed, he found this tea kettle, and he built this fire, and he heated the warm water until it began to steam. And with much encouragement, he poured that hot water into the ocean. Now, mind you, his daughter was greatly impressed, and she went in without a thought of what might happen. You see, the foolishness of trying to cover our sin is like trying to heat the ocean with a tea kettle full of steaming water. It takes, I believe, a family of believers to hold one another together. It takes knowing that God calls sin blindness, a disease, an abomination, but ultimately, he calls it a choice. As much as we strive to hide from sin, as much as we try to avoid it, the reality of our sinful condition is this. Romans 18, 19 to 23 makes it clear. It's a part of humanity. It's a part of all creation, and it longs for deliverance. The question, begging to be asked this morning, do we, as followers, as committed believers in Christ, long for deliverance? Do we know what it's like to be free from sin? Or are we content with it being a part of our lives? It's become normal. Adam and Eve, you and I will continually miss the mark, as the original Greek language infers. But at times it's beyond a mere mistake. It becomes a breach, an infringement on our relationship between God and humanity. Friends, remember, our sin separates us from God. It took Jesus dying on a cross in our place to bridge that separation. The least we can do on a daily basis is try to sin less. Look at what happens to this once perfect couple, beginning in Genesis 3:16. To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth the way to guard the way to the tree of life. Father, we realize in this very moment, paradise was lost. And to this day, in our own ways, we try to restore paradise. But Father, apart from you, we recognize we'll continue in our sinful state. So Father, I pray you would continually open your word to us. We would continually search your word and learn how we can defeat sin. We know it's through the Holy Spirit, through the strength that you provide us. Encourage us, Father, uplift us to be willing to take a step back and to look into our lives and see those places where the enemy has attacked most. Father, guide and direct us this year, we pray. Amen. Now, I want us to notice something before all this takes place in verse 13. God had just finished asking Adam if he ate of the tree from which he was commanded not to. And then the Lord God said this to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman replies, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Now watch what happens next in verse 14. God does not even give the serpent an opportunity to defend himself. Now what does that tell us? Satan, the enemy, the serpent, has already been found guilty. And here is what the Lord says to him. "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Though Adam and Eve lacked knowledge of good and evil before eating from the tree, that does not mean they had no understanding of obedience and disobedience, or that they were totally ignorant of right and wrong. Even today, we lack a complete understanding of good and evil. We continue and will continue to hear debates and questions concerning moral issues. Yet we wonder, are we too not completely ignorant? God could not have possibly explained any further what Adam was not to do and what the consequences would be. You eat from the tree, you suffer death. In other words, God taught them that eating from the tree was wrong. So they did know right from wrong, even if they were unaware of every other ethical matter. Eve understood the command and the consequences, or there's no way she could have explained it to the serpent. Any more than our children and our teens disobey and avoid us as parents and grandparents when they know the outcome. Some still, however, object that Adam and Eve knew what death was. But how can that be? God communicated with him. We sang the song, "He walked and talked with them." So there had to have been a spoken language. If nothing else, at least they understood that death was something to avoid. Or the serpent would not have persuaded Eve by telling her she wouldn't die. They obviously learned something when they ate the fruit, or they wouldn't have hid and found the leaves to cover up. From our passage this morning, it's clear the once perfect couple would no longer be able to go back. And we can thank Adam and Eve. Look at us now. The start of aging, the decay of mankind. Though I'll admit, since coming to Berks County, age doesn't really seem to be a factor here. You guys continue to press on and look good. But to think that it all started with Satan's goal all along, "You shall be like God." Through Adam, sin enters the world, and death is passed on to all men. We know Romans 6:23. What does it say? The wages of sin is death. We see it everywhere. Our own selfish desires, the evil, the suffering, and the pain in the world. We know that sin, as Romans 14:23 says, is everything apart from faith. So friends, let's make it our goal in 2017, realizing we cannot do this on our own. Let us seek God for help. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in our lives. May we know the Word of God. Remember, He's not like that carrot dangling in front of a horse, where the horse runs after the carrot and can never grasp the carrot and eat it. God is near. God is with us and longs for us to pursue Him. The question we ask ourselves this morning is, how is your pursuit? Are you chasing after God? Or do you sit here wanting God to come to you? The good news, the comfort we have this morning is that God longs to be in that close relationship with each of us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you restore. We thank you, Father, that you recreate. And Father, in this very place, there may be sin unraveling. And we know, Father, that you are in the business through your Son of forgiving it. You are in the business of making yourself known and revealing yourself to us. So Father, we open ourselves to you. And we know what your word says. And we cling to that very fact that we don't stand unforgiven, but we stand forgiven and free from our sin when we come to you and confess it. So, Father, may we be a people of asking and receiving forgiveness. May we be a people on fire for your Son Jesus, burning so brightly that people would wonder what's going on in our lives. My prayer this morning is that revival would start with each of us. May we allow that new self to be put on. And may that old sinful self die once and for all. Thank you, Father, for what you have done and will do with the sin in this world. We know that it once and for all will be destroyed through your Son, Jesus. And until that day, we cling to him and we walk this life through the Holy Spirit's guidance. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Close your eyes for a closing prayer.
Oh,
Oh God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God, and you alone we hope. Forgive our sins, heal our diseases, save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence that we might serve and witness in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.